welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
This morning I want to minister. I won't be able to do it justice, but I want to minister because next week we have a special giving day, our annual special giving day. I don't want it to become a day where it comes by and you come along and you come to church and, oh, I forgot, or, oh, I can't do this or do that. I want it to be specific. We've heard some through the announcement some of the things that we need to give. We have, and it's a small one in comparison, what needs to be done. We're already burgeoning upstairs and we have no room for the children. We have something to do about that. We have something to do about classrooms. We have no classrooms now to have our teaching classes in. The New Life classes, the Victorious Life Church classes, the School of Leaders classes, we have no places for that. We have no real places for people to have activities, have them in the foyer primarily. There's a lot of need, and we need two new buses, I'm told, by the deacons. We are seriously facing next Sunday the opportunity to correct some of the things. We are serious in our considerations of expanding our property somehow. We've got beautiful blueprints, and while we were away and we were praying into this, it came into my spirit, and I said to Hillary, and I'm saying to the deacons, could you put around the green room again for me the drawings that we had that were done for us by David for the new building? You need to have sight to get vision. We need to stop being willing to be the poor neighbor and realize that our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. And God works all things through the redeemed. God works miracles through the redeemed. God shows his loving kindness through the redeemed. God does all of his works today on this planet that are good through the redeemed. It's not going to come any other way. It's going to come through the redeemed. And we need to get a grasp of that truth. Because if you're saved, it's you we're talking about. Tell you that. It's you we're talking about. You can't duck and dive. If you're saved, that's who you are. I will never want to ever duck and dive my redemption. I'm on for it and everything it entails. Praise God, you know, because at all times, God in Christ is my source. I'm never just hanging around how we are. I don't know how to do so many things, but God in Christ Jesus is my source and he is yours too. If you were born again, the Bible tells me the Spirit of God is alive in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. If you're born again, you need to stop acting like the world and start acting like you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory, by the Holy Ghost. And so, I want to address just as quickly as I can, it's a very difficult one, the fact that we are serious about this small amount, so we're going to raise it next week. You and I together are going to raise it. We'll come to you again when we've got more clarity upon what we're going to do about the bigger building. But I'm saying, in God, we're going to believe God, we're going to receive. I'm going to help you this morning because I'm going to start talking a little bit about finance in this book. This book says more about finance than anything else. That will shock you, but it does. God is concerned about money and your money. I want to tell you, the Bible tells me that Jesus stands over by the offering basket. Did you know that? He did and he still does. He knows what you and I from our heart give or don't give. And that's not a conviction statement. I'm just telling you that's the truth. Let's not hide behind the lies of the devil. That's the truth. In fact, you know, he knows everything we do. He knows everything we think. Amen. Glory to God, that's who he is. So I'm going to talk about money. And it's going to be very hard, but in time I'm talking to go about. But I'm going to talk about money. I want to say a couple of things. The Bible says money answers all things. I haven't got time to go into that, but the Bible says that money answers all things. That's a powerful statement. Why was that in the Bible? Money answers all things. Because it's true. Because God knew this fallen world, how it operated. He saw it years ago, thousands of years ago. It works through barter. It works through exchange. It works through a medium of man's making. It's money. And all things, and money answers all things. Because you can't get anything on this planet without money. You can't. You try it. You can't. You need money. And money answers all things. So you need money. You need money to do the things and meet the needs that you have and face. You need money. Who dictates that? God? No, no. This society dictates that, just like it dictates so many other things to us. And we just like sheep, just go along, ma. And we just follow what is happening in the planet. You may smile, but that's true. That's what you're doing. Until you'll stand up for Christ and say, there's a better way. There's a different way. As for God, this Bible says His way is perfect. Amen. The word of the Lord is tried. You don't need to prove it. It's already been proven. You only prove that it works when you don't do it. So, money answers all things. But money in the Bible, in relation to us, like everything else, healing for your body, peace in your home, whatever, it all works by faith. What is faith? Faith is this word of God taken hold of, believed enough to do what it says, and never change your stance until you have got what God says you will have. That's faith. Everything works by faith. You won't be healed without faith. You will not be prosperous without faith, only by your own efforts. Faith is the key to everything. And faith is involved in prosperity. Faith is required for all things. When we talk about giving, and especially when we talk about giving money, we're dealing with, and listen to me carefully now, we're dealing with the affair, or we're dealing with the issue of the heart. That's what the Bible says. We deal with the issue of the heart. Matthew 6, right about verse 21, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. And so when we come to giving, then right there and then, your heart is coming into play. And your heart is what determines your relationship with God is. And I'm not saying your relationship with God is directly connected with money. We could talk about that without any difficulty. But I'm talking about this. The measure of the lordship of God in Christ Jesus in your life is determined by your heart. It's a heart issue. And the struggle that takes place in there is me against God. Thank God for the example of Jesus, who came to the place in the garden and says, Lord, let not my will be done, but yours. It's an issue of the heart every time. You're going to get saved or not saved. It's an issue of your heart. It comes out of your heart. Don't let anybody deceive you otherwise. That's true. That's biblical and it's experiential. It's your heart. And so as we look at this, I want to take you back to see why money is important in God's economy and why He wants to bless you and how you can be blessed financially. Well, I'm going to have to begin that because time. I'm going to turn you immediately. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's start there. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Well, let's go to verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. I'm about to cut to the chase here. You might want to read the first 17 verses there, because what God is talking about is what you achieve. What you achieve. You achieve it by the sweat of your brow. You achieve it by your effort, by trying to do these things. And it's not wrong to work, but it is wrong to put work before God when God says, I'll supply. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to work. I am saying that God has a means of supplying. And it is not just for you. God's desire to prosper you is that his work on this planet can prosper. And it takes money for that to happen. Amen. We've just been hearing about this tremendous move in our land of Ireland for Jesus, where groups of ministries teams of America have paid their own expenses and have been traveling backwards and forwards and trying to maintain their churches to come here under the anointing of God to serve God in this nation and see souls saved. It takes money. It takes money to do that. They're paying for the Ulster Hall. There is one church that says, we will do it. One church, we will do it. We'll pay that bill. And there's so many other bills have to be paid. But Ireland for Jesus. Thank God that we can see souls saved, because there's a greater intensity of witness that men and women that can share the truth in love, in authority, in power, can lay hands on the sick and see them healed, can have the prophetic word come and light up someone's heart and say, that's me. Thank God that this Bible is true and it's demonstrated, works out through men and women like you and I. But the beginning of it all starts here. Without this, you are blind. You have no direction. You are caught up with your heart. Because the Bible says, out of the heart are the issues of life. Are the issues of life. And so often we miss that truth, and the issues of life come out of us because we are on the throne of our heart. We haven't yielded it. We haven't died to self that we may live to God. It's the greatest exchange you can ever have. It's the greatest exchange you can ever have, but it's a heart one, it's not a head one, because your head will all the time calculate, be logical, be reasonable, be sensible. That is what your mind will say, because your mind is depending only upon you, but your heart, your spirit man, is totally God, totally God, totally God, and you have to learn to do that. Like the wave, and I want to say that the wave of the Spirit of God that's moving into BCC, we pray and thank God for it, but I want to tell you, I'm aware that you are trying to ride the wave. You are learning to ride the wave. What do you mean by that? Well, let me put it in a more simple manner. I get delighted because when I'm here in the worship time and I hear the response and see what's happening in the people's lives, I see people who are responding. They probably don't know it, but they are responding to this wave of the Spirit of God. It is intoxicating. It is drawing. It is motivational. It is awesome. It's all of God. It's all of God. Hallelujah. And that's the awesome thing. But let me take you here to Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. Read those first verses. And then come to verse 17. And it says, you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. Well, if God didn't put it there, you did. Now look at verse 18. This is powerful. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. When you get hold of that, God says it is he that gives us power to get wealth. That word power in the Hebrew is the word gives you the know-how. Gives you the ability to do it. To get what? Wealth. That word is the same in the Hebrew. It means wealth. It doesn't just mean finance, but it includes finance. It means wealth of living. It means wealth of health. It means wealth of mind. It's the blessing of God that the Bible, that Proverbs tells us of, that God has given to those that believe. He says, I will bless the righteous, hallelujah, with favor or with blessing, I will bless them. The blessing of the Lord that only makes us rich, the Bible says. It's that same blessing. So you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. And so every one of us that believe, if we'll find out what God says about it, can find out how to get wealth. Majority of Christians and the majority of people on the planet know no other way but one of two. Somehow try by any means possible to earn an honest crust. Whether that's digging a hole for some rubbish to go into, or you're high on the high echelons bracket where you are chairman of a board or something and you've got this sort of money, it doesn't matter. It goes from the two. Power to get wealth. We think we have power and we think that's what we've got to do. And we must be honest earners. We must be honest workers. Let me just revert just to let you know. Hillary and I were honest workers for years in the kingdom without a penny of salary or where it was coming from. But we were investing. We were investing. I want to tell you, there's a wealth that we can get when we will do it God's way. That way begins in trust. That way begins in the word, and then trusting that word and then applying that word to our lives. Power to get wealth. Well, now, this is the biggest one. That he may what? Establish his covenant. I haven't got time. I'd love to spend half an hour just on this. Do you know what he's saying there? That the world will see God's covenant when the world sees God's people prosperous and blessed in every area of their lives. And not walking around struggling and defeated like they are. The church are the redeemed of the Lord. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. And we need to start walking in it and talking it and thinking it. It doesn't happen overnight. Hasn't happened overnight for Hillary and I, at wherever level we are at. It's every day. And every day we get deeper and stronger and go further. Every day. And you know initially where that comes from? Because every day we're in this. Every day we're in this. This is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It tells us how to be, how to function. But the most important thing here, it's his covenant. The planet needs to see this. That he would establish his covenant, which he swore to his fathers. This world needs to see that Christians are not just people that gather and go to church on Sunday. They're not just people that hand out leaflets. There is something different. There is something different about them. It should the evidence of that should be the joy and peace of the Lord. The love that we have for God should be obvious to everybody. But there should be something else that hits them in the face. That I know those people. They don't seem to have much money, haven't got a particularly great job, but they lack for nothing. Well, how does that happen? You know, in those early days, I had people, and I was just starting the ministry, I had people, and it went around bangy, you know. If you talk a little bit, you'll soon about John Nabby, and you'll soon have a lot of people have a lot to tell you about me. I'm not ashamed to say that. It doesn't matter. But we had people. The story was going around, I had five jobs. Five different jobs. Didn't even have one. Didn't even take the unemployment benefit. Five different jobs. But they had to get me somewhere, you see. So, you know, he's got all these jobs. Nobody can dare to believe that God somehow, as only he can, feed the raven and use the raven to feed his prophet. Nobody can believe these things. But oh, there's a realm for us to live in that's a million times better than this carnal realm. We can live on the planet, but we can live in the kingdom. And in that kingdom, we can enjoy the peace and the blessing and the abundance of God. That I may establish my covenant with you. Let's look at the covenant. Let's turn to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. And I'm going to start from verse 1. Are we there? When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, here we go, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, that described who he was as a man, an ordinary man, but your name shall be Abraham, that described who was going to be in the hand of God. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. This is the covenant. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you. Listen to this, in their generations. So in other words, every new generation that comes along will receive and inherit the same inheritance, that covenant promise of God. They will receive, let me read the whole verse again. I will establish my covenant between me and you, talking to Abraham, and to your descendants after you, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are strangers, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And the governments of the world are trying to tell Israel that land belongs to somebody else. I'm going to say it loud. Liars. There is only one truth, and this book is it. God is not a man that he would lie. This was given to Israel. Verse 9, and God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant. Notice it. Keep the covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. And then he goes on to talk about the sign of the covenant. I want, because of my shortness of time, I want to take you, before I take you into the New Testament, let me reread verse 7. And it says this. God says, I will establish my covenant between me and you. This is Abraham, right? And Abraham's descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Turn with me to the New Testament, into the book of Galatians. And in chapter 3, we read in verse 10 of Jesus, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue with all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's the old covenant. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live, how? By faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Verse 13 is our verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That's what makes you and I that have given our lives to Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21, the righteousness of God. Amen. He has made us just like God again. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, This is the covenant we're talking about. The blessing of Abraham, the covenant of Abraham, verse 14, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here what we're reading is that for our generation, God is saying that this covenant that he made with Abraham, who is the father of all the faithful, who by his actions and belief in God was declared righteous by God, even in the Old Testament, that what he has done there is now the inheritance of the Gentile. A Gentile is an unbeliever. A Gentile is an unbeliever. But even the Gentiles now, unbelievers, by faith in Christ, become inheritors of the covenant. Isn't that awesome? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I'm going to drop you right down, for time's sake, to verse 29. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are born again, you are, the Bible is saying, you are in Christ the seed of Abraham. You are an heir of the covenant. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? You've got the information of it, but it's a revelation that changes everything. And that revelation has to take this work and this truth out of your carnal understanding and become the center and focus of operation of your now regenerated, born again spirit. Because that's where the issues of life come from, not here. Do you understand what I've just said? And unless you let that word enter and operate from where it can do its work, all as you'll have it is as information. And you know what usually I found information does to us as human beings? It gets this response from us. It's an option. Take it or leave it. It's an option. Is that right? You say, Pastor, you're a long way back, far off from giving here. Yeah. But he's given us power to get wealth. I'm going to turn you, and I won't get much further than this because I should be finishing now. I'm going to turn you to the book of Malachi. Malachi. In chapter 3. This that we're going to read now is Old Testament. It's under the law. But it was given to the seed of Abraham. This is the promise that God made to the seed of Abraham. Is that okay? Now, watch it from here. I'm going to just cut into verse 8. I'd love to minister on the whole passage, but verse 8. Will a man rob God? A lot of you will be familiar with this, but let's see what it really says. Will a man rob God? And this is God talking. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? He answers, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation. Then it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me. King James says, and prove me now, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I'd love to go into that. I need to take you back to this simple place. And it's what he says here. He says, you've robbed me. Do you know what he's saying? Another place he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. New Testament, Paul preaches it. That there may be meat in my house. The parallel was there in the Old Testament with the priests of Levi. They were those that served God towards the people. The tithe that was given to them to sustain them, who were there designated to do a task to maintain and support the people. It was a tithe. But he answers when they say, how have we robbed you? He says, now this is where we need to start to get gritty with it. Tithes and offerings. Now, you may say, oh, well, why have we got to give twice? Why is this? What is all this? Here is the mystery. Here is the awesome wonder of God at work. God working his will with man who can't just take advantage of him because it works by faith. You see, the tithe. Well, if you're born again and you don't tithe, the Bible says you're robbing God because the tithe is the Lord's. Leviticus 27, let's look there. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And that whole chapter carries on communicating that in a broader pattern. But the tithe is the Lord's. That's firstly why it's separated. That tithe is as it was equal in the Old Testament. The tithe was given to them for the same purpose, to support the Levites and the priests. But that tithe is the Lord's. Whatever he does with that, but it's for the work of the ministry. It's not for anything else. It's for the work of the ministry. The tithe is the Lord's. So we have to understand this. The tithe is God's. When we give the tithe, we haven't given anything. It's already his. If you're born again, what God is saying, one-tenth of what you have is mine. It's yours. You'll start to understand why God wants us to be able to understand his desire for us to be able to get wealth. God has put you and me in a position where his tithe can continually increase. And I'll show you. The tithe is the Lord's. And then he goes on and he says something else. He said, but you have robbed me in tithes and in offerings. And they can't understand the difference. The tithe is the Lord's. That can do nothing for you yet. The offering is for you to give freely. And that's for, if we're going to rebuild here or do a lot of radical changes, the money for that should come out of our free will giving, our offering. Not the tithe. Should come out of our free will giving. Our tithe should support the ministry in this house and should support ministries and works and mission fields and wherever. Our tent should be there to be able to put out where it's needed. Because the church tithes its tenth. So the free will offering is something very different. The free will offering is what we bring to the Lord. So you haven't given anything when you tithe. If you haven't tithed, you're robbing God if you're a Christian. If you have given a tithe, then you're a wise person if you give free will offerings, because free will offerings, Paul picks up on this in 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9. Free will offerings is the seed that you sow. And do you know this? In God's economy, seed sown, money sown, will come up like a harvest field that's been sown with wheat You'll get a crop of wheat. So what you sow, the Bible says, you'll reap. As a Christian, if you believe God, the Bible teaches very simply that whatsoever you sow, you reap. If you sow money, you can reap money. You say, oh, you're getting very carnal now. No, it's just because we can't think for a moment that God's got a plan to prosper us. We are so hooked by the ring in our nose that this world system is able to continue to have us go the way it wants to and leads us whichever way it wants to lead us. But God wants to prosper you. He wants to prosper you firstly that others can see the amazing things that are happening in your life. And when they ask you how, you can say, my God has prospered me. Abraham said this, I will receive nothing from you. I will never let anyone say that you made Abraham rich. That's what his quote. Because God will bless you. And so we need to understand that tithing is one thing, that's the Lord's. But very separate to that, and it's free will, is sowing in your finance. Here and I sow all the time. And the Bible tells me, I'll get there one day, not this morning. But if ever you really want a special teaching class on finance in the Bible, let me know and we'll set it up. But the Bible says God will give you a return of 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Do you believe that? It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. I'll not take that any further this morning, but I do want to do this. Your tithe and your offering are totally separate. The tithe is the Lord's, but once you've shown your integrity and your heart towards God by giving the tithe to the Lord, then he takes his attention off there and says, oh, have they put any seed in the ground? Because if they have, I'm going to attend to it. I'm going to feed it. Miracle grow, forget it. God just talks to it. And that harvest starts to grow. You don't believe me? That's, I don't mind. I don't mind if you don't believe me. But it's the truth. We've just read the passage there. Key, people just want to throw that passage away. They want to get rid of Malachi chapter 3. Oh, it convicts me too much. It condemns me too much. Oh, it puts me in an uncomfortable position. I don't like feeling this. Don't read that to me. Now, that's the devil at work. Because in this passage, God shows us the awesome truth. When you honor God with your tithe, he gives us a promise that has never been given in the Bible relating to anything else. The only time in the Bible it says, prove me now. You hear what I'm saying? The only time that he's offered and said, prove me now, is concerning money. It's concerning money. But think about that. That's the only time in the Bible that God says, prove me now. Wow. And see if I won't open up to you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you can't contain it. You were never intended to. You're supposed to. That's what you're supposed to do. We wouldn't have the needy around if the church really functioned. They say that there's loads of money out there in the world, but I want to tell you there's loads of money in the body of Christ. Loads of money. What happens when you honor the God with your tithe and you put your seed into the ground? God says you can receive from that 20-fold, 30-fold, 100-fold. Sufficient unto your faith be it unto you, but you can receive from it. What guarantees that? It tells you there, the fact that you've tithed. He says, let me help you. Let me take you to verse here. Verse 9 says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. The previous verse says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. But verse 10 says simply this, bring all the offerings into the storehouse. Is that what it says? Oh, it says tithes. Did it really? Oh, so it does. I'm being naughty again. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. It didn't say bring all the offerings in. It said bring all the tithes in. What did he then say concerning that last statement? He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And then, what did he say? Where am I? That there may be food in my house. And what did he say then? And try me or prove me now in this, says the Lord. It wasn't about bringing the offering in. He said, when you bring the tithe in. Now, let me prove to you that I will honor you. For this is God's means for us to get wealth. Honor God with your tithe. Believe him with it. Realize that you can sow seed and God says he will multiply it. But the guarantee of protecting it, the guarantee of multiplying it, he says this. He says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing. It's God's blessing as he pours out the rain, as it were, as the farmer would want rain to go on his seed in the ground. The blessing of God comes upon your circumstances, hallelujah, upon that which you have sown. And it's in that action that we get multiplication take place. The seed is multiplied because God has received the tithe, and now we are able to hear his promise to us. Try me now in this. If I will not open up to you the windows of heaven, pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room to receive it. But don't stop there, because this is what we need to grasp. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. God's plan is to prosper you. I haven't even started. This Bible, I've already said, speaks more about money than anything else. Because money, according to the economy and thinking of this planet, planet's people, only measures things by financial wealth. That's all they do. They only see it that way. When they see the saints prospering, but I don't mean greedy for money. I don't mean that. That's not your objective. Let me say this. I'm not saying it for any other reason, but just try to be helpful and constructive. You might have heard from me in testimony times how in my early years and many years would fast and pray and stay up all night and seek God. Why would I do that? Because I wanted God. I wanted God. Why would I give? Why would I give? Why would I tithe and give? Why would I do that? Because I want to be an instrument that as much as I can, I can let him, he can use me to bless others and supply. Why? It's always back to the heart. It's always back there. But my time is long gone. And I really haven't begun to start. But I want to leave this with you. If you can only start to get into your spirit and read it yourself and ask God, honor God with the tithe. And then you are free to start getting some faith in your heart to say, I'm going to sow that I may reap. Isn't that what Paul says in Corinthians? Sow sparingly and you will reap sparingly. So bountifully, and you will. That's Paul the apostle. That's old. That's New Testament. That's not Old Testament. But we have to understand this purpose that God has for these two means of giving: the tithe and the offering. I want to encourage you. I'm going to be praying for you, praying for us all, that we can get hold of this. The world needs the church. Not just with supernatural signs, wonders, and power, but with some money in their pockets. And the church needs the church with that sort of thing, because there are souls to win. There are places to go and people to reach, people to help. I urge you, talk to God about it. If you have any questions about the little bit we've touched this morning and simply the difference between the tithe and the offering. The offering isn't tithing, remember. And tithing isn't the offering.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.